Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland at 1-800-727-5955. Coming to this hour, another edition of How Chicks Think with Jolie from the front desk. And we've got, I hold it here in my hands, by the way, the best sports story you've ever heard in your life. It's fantastic. It's two pages. And I'm going to read them all, because each paragraph is better than the one that preceded it. We'll get that here. We were just rummaging around. No, that's not the right. We were stealing things from the other side of the building just now. And we found the Fisher Communication Sales and Management Training Handbook for 2002.
That worked well
for me.
Yeah. I got myself a t-shirt, a SOTS t-shirt.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, support our troops. Yeah, very telling that this is all stuff that was just left behind. Because here's the thing, I mean, I don't know about you all, but it's like here, there's no warning that the smack is coming down. There's just no, you're, if you're Rick Dees, you'll get a warning. Us, not so much. We'll just be gone. We'll just be gone someday. I mean, it probably won't be tomorrow. I'd give it a week at least. But, you know, who knows? Anyway, so so when people get the, you know how it is, you people get the, they get the axe, and then it's like you have 15 seconds to all those things you wanted to steal that you never thought to steal, suddenly shoving them into your pants. Like that guy that we, you know, that guy we read about in El Salvador or whatever, he was coming over the border with 500 tree frogs in his boxers or something. Wanted to start a zoo in Secaucus or some crap. what was my point? Oh, anyway, so there's all this stuff. We could just do an entire show just going through the stuff that's been left behind here. Because now that they're hauling away the cubicles, I think we've all looked around and realized there's things we've been meaning to steal that we haven't really had a chance to. We have these bitchin' chairs in the front lobby. Those are the things. Can I just tell you, when I first came here for my interview, what, 5 years ago, when I came here to talk to, you know, then-program director Bruce Hagler, then-general manager Ron Carter, I'm sitting there in the lobby, and they get these bitchin' purple and yellow chairs, and I know that sounds like they really wouldn't be bitchin'. You have to trust me when I say that they are. And, man, I made a mental note that steal these chairs. But it's not. We had four of them, and now one of them is gone, because I think that they're having them duplicated, because I think that they're going to be using them somewhere else, which means they haven't forgotten they exist.
No, it's down to two now out there.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I bet someone stole one of the other three. There was four. One got taken away by corporate because they wanted to have the chairs duplicated. If another one's gone now, that's in somebody's living room. I'll tell you that right now. That's in some guy's. It's like you go to a radio guy's house, man, and there's whole sections of his place that's just decorated with stuff he's stolen from work. I mean, you know that that's true. Somewhere, well, we'll talk more about it here in a minute. So we'll talk about stealing just a bit, and we'll read some of the tips and tricks from the Fisher Communications Sales and Management Training Handbook, which saved no one's job. We'll get to that here in just a.
Well, if we're gonna rummage, we should do it today before they take away everything.
Are they gonna haul all that stuff away today?
Furniture's disappearing as we speak, man.
Yeah. All right. In any event, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland. It's the Rick Emerson Show. We're here with Sarah Dillon, F. Matt Peterson, Tim Riley in the KOTK newsroom. We got more coming up. Jolie from the front this hour. Next hour, today's top five Simpsons episodes of all time, according to one Mr. Matt Groening, who celebrated his 50th birthday this past weekend. More of your phone calls and all that. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland. We also got to figure out, how to close out this week. Because it's our last week. I mean, one way or the other, it's our last week in this building, I think. And then we're out of here. So we got to figure out how to.
How about a bonfire?
how about some looting? It's too bad that it's not warmer outside. We'd get our grill on. You know, we do. Because the last time we did a big sort of barbecue here was 4th of July, and then we did Thanksgiving, which was indoors. I don't know. We'll give it some thought. This, however, is Tim Riley. He's in the KFGK newsroom.
And now, it's not just news. It's news with Tim Riley. Live from the newsroom of Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Stephen Cook in Rhode Island says it's protesting affirmative action, but others say it's fueling racism with a scholarship for whites only. The group, you guessed it, College Republicans of Roger Williams University is advertising the $250 scholarship. To get it, the group requires an essay, why you are proud of your white heritage, and a photo to, quote, confirm your whiteness. The group's president says the language and the scholarship itself were parodies of minority scholarships. Jason Matera, recipient of the minority scholarship, says such funding is unfair. He says some white students may be struggling financially, but are at a disadvantage because they are perceived as privileged.
You know, this is one of those things that was clever once about 24 years ago and quit being clever, shortly after that. It's like that guy repeating the joke that he heard once 49 years ago, thinks it's still hilarious. This is no longer hilarious, no longer clever. It's just uninteresting and tedious and pretentious. And it's, you'd think the Republicans themselves would try to stop this thing from happening because you'd think they'd try to hide their own inner evil nature, but they do a pretty bad job at that.
Well, it was revealing, but not as revealing as the Super Bowl halftime show. Beyonce danced. Is this the same one as Beyonce cannolis? She danced in a low-cut V-neck halter dress during the halftime show of yesterday's NBA All-Star game. Officials put a 7-second delay for the show as a precaution. She sang her hit, Crazy in Love. Her vigorous dancing gave some revealing side views of her breast. A conservatively dressed Janet Jackson sat courtside, swaying to the music, wearing a brown suede suit and a white T-shirt and holding a small bouquet of flowers.
All right, but back to the earlier show about the skull. How do you confirm your whiteness? Well, I guess you could show them a picture. You could just be pale. How do they know? Could be like that. Could be like that whole Johnny Mathis business. We had no idea if he was white or black. How would you? You might just be. You might just be fair. Do you have to go and make ambrosia salad or something? Do you have to go in the?
Like the guy in the Office Max commercial, take one of those pink magic markers and mark it all over your face, and has to go home because you feel sick.
Yeah, I mean, maybe you just have to show up with mayonnaise or sort of ketchup or something.
And let's see, 10 ceremonies at a time, gay couples are getting married in San Francisco's City Hall. So far, 1,700 couples. So they have till tomorrow to do this. Next news, when it happens, I'm Tim Riley.
All right, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. Josh, subject line, the wolf. He says, Rick, will KOTK have some similarly embarrassing mascot once you move to the new building? Please say it isn't so. Yeah, I don't know. Probably. Probably just
we'll
a matter of time.
We'll be re-imaging.
It'll be something, you know, I've been pushing for the fighting banana slugs for the longest time, but no one listens to me when I propose these things. I just get ignored. All right, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727. Or the yak. Who was it that said we should be the yak? Was that me? I think it might have been me. It was somebody who sounded brilliant at the time, made a lot of sense. It was probably
me. That costume would be very heavy.
Yeah, because see, it's got the zany, kooky double meaning that they love so much in radio. So, all right. The yak. Make a mental note. When you hear it, you know that it was my idea. You heard it here first.
I'm sticking with the beaver.
I'll talk tonight at KTK. The yak! You know, and then some, and then we'd have like a yak, and then we'd have, our group of listeners would be called the Yak Pack. You know, or something that's what our little whatever fan club or whatever would be. You've got to have some sort of.
I'm already calling it right now. I'm not wearing the costume.
Not it. Hey Matt, how's it feel to be the yak? Yeah.
Right. Not a chance.
See, you think your job is embarrassing? Look, here's the thing. I mean, I know that you, we don't have a right to complain about our job most of the time because our job is okay. But look, unless you're working at, you know. What, Oak Park or something? I mean, you're not going to get put into a giant llama suit, you know, be made to go out to talk to yokels at the state fair. It's probably not going to happen to you. Tapeworm. Tapeworm was, I called that like years ago. I said that we ought to be the tapeworm. Sort of, you know, because the radio sort of infects you. It gets into your system like the, no one listens. All right, 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. This hour, Jolie from the front desk, going to be up later on. I do want to read this, though. This is the best sports story you've ever heard in your life. This comes to us from Sportle.com. Dateline. This is actually Dateline today. This is from today. Subject line, the most vile sporting act ever. And this is from, I think this is about a rugby player. Controversial West Tigers winger. Do you ever read stuff from another country and you can't even tell what the hell they're talking about because it's just filled with some weird Brit lexicon? All right. In any event, controversial West Tiger winger. I guess a winger is a position. Is that like a tight end or in rugby? You don't know. You're just guessing. John Hopote has been suspended for 12 weeks after being found guilty by the NRL judiciary, National Rugby League judiciary, of poking his fingers up the anuses of three North Queensland players. accused of one of the most bizarre charges in the history of rugby, or sport in general for that matter, Hopo was officially found guilty of, quote, unsportsmanlike interference. On the evidence of, wait for it, video footage, how do you... I mean, well, okay. And the damning testimony from three Cowboys players, I guess that's from North Queensland, Hopo was always likely to be found guilty. The length of his sentence seemed as the only contentious matter. In the end, the North Rugby League had little trouble differentiating... And this is... I'm reading now from the... This is from the transcript of the trial now. I'm now reading these things as a journalist. The National Rugby League judiciary had little trouble differentiating between a, quote, wedgie, a, quote, finger up the arse, that's how they say ass there, end quote, and the area, quote, between the arse and the nuts, end quote, before these, I'm reading, this is a legal document I'm reading from now, before finding Hopo guilty. The NRL Judiciary Commissioner described the case as the worst he'd experienced in his 45-year involvement in the rugby league. I've never come across a more disgusting case than I've had to deal with now. Hopo, age 27, where's this guy going to get a job ever again? Is anybody ever going to... This guy won't get a job at the local grocery. You know what I mean? You bend over to get some turnips, suddenly it's a hand in your bum. Hopo, at age 27. And when did it first occur to him, do you suppose? Was this his own idea? Was he tipped off from somebody else? What is the goal, really, in putting your fingers in the anus of another player? Is that just sort of a thing where it's just, is that like, that trash talking doesn't work anymore, and so it's, you've really just got to stick your hand in their butt? Is that what it is? It's, the your mama jokes just aren't having any effect anymore? What is the thought process inside this guy's head?
I wonder if during a game, if I were to insert my fingers into his anus and waggle them around, that's got to be different. I bet he wouldn't see that coming. I'd almost certainly make a goal then.
Anyway, he was found guilty on three separate counts of, quote, deliberately sticking his fingers up the anuses. That does seem like the word deliberate's a little redundant there, since you got at least two layers of clothing. It's not really the sort of thing you sort of slip. I'm sorry, Phil. I seem to have accidentally slipped several of my fingers into your anus. Sorry. Guilty on three separate counts of deliberately sticking his fingers up the anuses of Peter Jones. Paul, that's got to be fun, too, when you're the guy in the newspaper who... They now know that you've had the finger of John Hopote in your anus. That guy's kids have got to have a good time at school. Hey, your dad got John Hopote's finger in his anus. Sticking his fingers up the anuses of Peter Jones, Paul Bowman and Glenn Morrison in Saturday night, one match alone. In one match, hand, anus, three guys. At Dairy Farmer Stadium. There's some joke there to be made, but I don't know exactly what it is. This is a real story, by the way. It's important to note at this point that I'm not making this up. Yeah, sticking his fingers up the anuses of Peter Jones, Paul Bowman, and Glenn Morrison in Saturday night's match at Dairy Farmer Stadium. Hopote, a former Australian test winger, insisted he was merely trying to give Jones and Morrison a wedgie in order to perform a quick play the ball, and that he did not stick his finger up Bowman's anus. Asked by counsel Bernie Gross where he was directing his finger at Bowman, the Cowboys captain, Hopote replied, quote, reading now from the court transcript, a legal document. Quote, between his arse and the nuts, end quote. Hopote maintained he did nothing wrong in administering the wedgies and went on to say, I'm a great believer in what happens on the field should stay there. Asked to describe what the wedgie felt like, the Tigers player replied, you get a burning sensation. I don't know that that's a wedgie so much as it's maybe something you might need a cream for. He said, you get a burning sensation like your undies are getting reamed up your arse. Reamed. Is there a less pleasant word in the English language than ream? Here's two words that are really unpleasant in almost every scenario and context. Ream and crotch. Especially together. But separately, there's no walk in the park there either. Crotch is an almost unbelievably ugly sounding word, you know? Holbrook's defense counsel, imagine defending the guy who in one match put his hand in the anus of three different players. Holbrook's defense counsel contended to Jones his client had merely administered a wedgie on the cowboy in the seventh minute of the match. It wasn't a wedgie, he said. That's when your pants are pulled up your bum. I think I know the difference between a wedgie and someone sticking their finger in my anus. That kind of goes without saying. Admitting that while both acts caused discomfort, they caused different sensations, and he could differentiate between the two. Bowman said after tangling Hopote in the 17th minute, he stood over the winger, and that's when I felt fingers outside my shorts, eventually pushing into my anus. This doesn't happen in American sports. This is... What the hell is wrong with the British? This isn't a thing you'd ever... John McEnroe didn't go over and put his finger into Bjorn Borg's bum. It's not a thing that takes place here. All right. Well, there you go. There's no point. There's no topic. There's no discussion to be had about this. There's no real reason for it. I simply wanted to read it because it is the best sports story ever. Excellent. All right, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. We got more. We'll be back after this. It's the Rick Emerson Show on Hot Talk 1080, KUTK. And when a girl walks in with an itty bitty waist and a round thing in your face, you get sprung. Wanna pull up, suck, cause you notice that butt was stuck. Even the jeans she's wearing, I'm hooked and I can't stop staring. Oh, baby, I wanna get with ya and take your picture. My homeboy tried to warn me, but that butt you got me.
Live from Portland, it's Rick Emerson, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Sarah Dillon has the traffic.
From the KOTK newsroom, here's your Northwest update.
Good afternoon, it's 1:23. I am Tim Radley. Angelina Jolie recently completed shooting the new Oliver Stone epic, Alexander, and is currently providing a voice for the animated feature Shark Tale. Angelina, oh, she is also an ambassador of the United Nations. I don't know why. Tell us how you get involved with the United Nations, Angelina.
Because I wanted to learn about things that I, you know, felt weren't covered in the news. And I didn't understand when I'd read pieces of things, and I wanted to know more. So I traveled with them for about a year, and with UNHCR specifically, which is the refugee organization. And then after that, they asked me to join as a Goodwill Ambassador, which would be to just become officially working with them and then to raise awareness, which I was happy to do because I felt informed at that point enough to actually speak on their behalf.
You sound like someone who's really concerned about children. After all, they are the future. Tell us what your young adopted son, Maddox, knows about your job.
He knows when I say I'm going to work, and he understands it now, and he kisses me goodbye. He's fine. He's not, he knows I come back, and he knows I'll miss him. We just talk about everything. He's just like this great little, like everybody that has kids knows, they're just this amazing, these little people that are just honest and open and loving and keep you honest, and it's great.
That sounds wonderful. That's Angelina Jolie. For the Metro forecast, rain at times today, highs in the 50s, same for tonight and tomorrow, but sunshine by Thursday. Tim Riley, KOTK News.
Got an opinion? Pick up the phone and call. The lines are open at 503-250-1080 or toll-free 1-800-727-5955. Rick Emerson on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. Rick, can you put a link to the rugby story on your webpage? My coworkers want to know why I'm laughing. You shouldn't. Okay, look, here's just a little advice from me to you. Do not show the story to the coworkers. Don't share with the HR woman. There's certain things which are best left just to your own, you know, imagination. There's certain things you don't want to be. You know what? That's going to be a hole. That's going to be a road to unemployment for you. You start sharing stories about guys with their fingers in the anuses of other people. That's something you just want to keep to yourself. You know what I mean? All right. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. Coming to this hour, we got Jolie from the front desk with How Chicks Think. Later on in the third hour of the show, top five Simpsons episodes of all time, according to Matt Groening, who turned 50 this past weekend. Mike says, Rick, did I hear you say that they're going to be taxing irritating behavior in New York? No. We're talking about the latte that they're going to be, which they tried to do in Seattle about 18 months ago. They tried to tax lattes, like put like 10 cents or something on them, which got voted. I mean, it just got crushed. It just got voted down by like 90% of the 90% of the people who voted in it. Same thing is going to happen in New York. What I did say is that they ought to tax irritating behavior. It says, what about irritating cell phone rings? Every time I'm in an airport lounge, I hear baby one more time fired up on the cell phone next to me. God damn, I hate that. God damn it, he says. You know what they also ought to... Can I just say this, just before we move on to anything else? Let me just say that I was at the store this weekend, and it's a store that I don't even like to talk about it, because it makes me sound like... Because it makes me sound like a guy who's just become really suburbanized in almost every conceivable way. I'm at this store this weekend called... It's called Storables, and it's just a store that sells things in which you can put other things. You know the store that I'm talking... It's like...
Is it just like a Tupperware store?
That's all it is. It's just a store that they just sell containers. That's all it is. It's just a store where they sell containers for all your other stuff. And do you ever realize that you're shopping in the wrong place? And the way you can tell is because of the other people that are around you. It's like you start to look around and it's just endless eaters of tofu and drivers of Saabs. And you suddenly realize that you're in some sort of a place in your life or in a place geographically that you really never anticipated yourself being. And it's, you know, and you're right in between like a wine and cheese store and, you know, in like a, you know, like a place that sells a...
J. Crew.
Exactly. You know, or a place that sells, like, really exotic macrame products or something. Or you're just in Northwest Portland and it's you've taken, like, the wrong... You're in some sort of a place where you look around and you realize that the people that you're shopping with and the people that are around you in the store are the type of people that you would gladly run down on the crosswalk if you knew you could get away with it. So that's where I am this weekend. I'm at this place called Storables. And I'm just buying, you know, and it's, Storables is basically one of those places that's just, it's like lots of really upscale versions of things that really shouldn't be upscale. You know, like bathroom soap containers and DVD racks, you know what I mean? A DVD rack should be $14.99, it should come from Fred Meyer, that's the deal. You get the same thing at Storables, costs like $75, it's made out of antique oak. You know, and I'm there for reasons completely unbeknownst to me, it's just, I've just been taken there. It's one of those things where you just get in the car and you realize you've ceded any sort of personal control over your life. You realize you no longer have any say in how the apartment is decorated. You don't have any, you're not going to have any input into, you know, the scheme with which anything is sort of designed inside your place. And this weekend, I mean, let me just say this too. This weekend, we have this whole terrible office space in our house. It's like we have the... You know, it's two levels. And we have the downstairs, which is where the, you know, the kitchen is, and it's where the, you know, the sort of the television area is. And then there's the, you know, and all the upstairs stuff. And upstairs is the kind of computer room. It's sort of the office. And it's always just been this big pigsty, you know, it's because it's the one room that just sort of everything gets thrown into when people come over. Do you have a room like that? It's a room that's sort of the equivalent of the junk drawer in the kitchen right to the left of the microwave. That drawer that everything just gets shoved into whenever you need to quickly clean off the kitchen counter. Drawer gets opened. And you just shove everything into it, Tic Tacs, T's, you know, D-cell batteries, you know, paper clips, boom, and you shut it, along with a bunch of checkbooks that all have three checks left inside of them and a bunch of outdated Comcast bills, all ends up inside of there. Everybody has a room in their house that's exactly the same way, and it's a room where stuff from all the other rooms gets thrown into when company comes over, and then you shut the door, right? It's like you got people coming over, so you pick up your socks and, you know, whatever, just various crap that's assembled all over the living room. You put it in a big pile, you shove it into this other room, and then you close the door. Well, that's what our upstairs office is. So we spend this entire time cleaning the upstairs office, moving all of the crap, putting everything away, and then at the end of the, you know, at the end of the whole cleaning expedition, I sort of look around, and I realize that I've done that thing. Unconsciously, that thing has been done to me that will be done to all of you if you're men, where the office has become that one room in the house where I'm allowed to put things. The office has become the one room in the... It's sort of like the child's room growing up, you know? It's like, the, you know, the kid has his own... You know, it's a bedroom or the playroom or whatever. The kid can put all his own things. That's kind of what the office has become. The office has become the one 10-by-10 square foot area of the house where I'm allowed to have personality and, you know, have any sort of, like, input into wherever things go. And it's always sold to you as a real positive. It's always sold to you as... And then you'll have this one room that you can decorate any way you want. Now, see, right now, you're laughing, you're rolling your eyes, you're smirking, you're thinking to yourself, what a pussy. He's completely whipped. Boy, I'm never going to turn out like that. You are. It's going to happen to you. May not happen right now. May not be this month. Justin, it may not be any time this year, but there will come a time when you look around and you realize that you have become your dad and that you have one time. See, your dad had the garage. Your dad, and I don't know if it's still, I mean, it may be the case if you live in suburbia. Your dad has the garage, and the garage, you wonder why your dad spent so much time out there. You know, if you, you know, you grew up in any sort of a, you know, a neighborhood like I did, your dad had the garage. He was never in the house. If he was in the house, it was just because he was, you know, he was there shoveling down fish sticks and watching Dan Rather. But then he would vanish again, right? And your dad was in the garage because the garage was the only place where he was allowed to have anything that he actually liked. Because everything else in the house, you know, like you couldn't touch or use for fear of staining it, you know, for fear of like actually getting dirt. Like there were whole sections of my house where you learn it, you weren't allowed to wear shoes. You know, like you had to take it. We had this whole front room in the house. Couldn't wear your shoes in there. Carpet you couldn't actually, you know, couldn't actually walk on. Did you ever go into somebody's house and they got furniture covered in plastic? You know, if I ever wake up, because those are the same people that collect Franklin Mint Fabergé eggs. You know what I mean? You go in and it's like, look at this beautiful couch. And then you sit down on it and it's just like it's covered in a bad shower curtain because they've covered the couch with plastic. You know, which is especially uncomfortable when it's summertime and you feel like you're sticking to it like ham on a griddle and then it makes that unpleasant sound when your thighs come off of it and, you know, you decide to sit up. Well, I got really dangerously at the point. I had some point I was making a long time ago. Something. Office. Storable. So we're at storables, right? Where I've been taken this weekend to buy all kinds of things that I don't want, that are overpriced, that we don't need, to replace the things we've got now that are reasonably priced and work completely well. We're in, and this is how you know you're in a place that you never should be. The storables has got their own, you know, they've got their own parking garage right underneath the store. And so we have, you know, a very small car. So we pull into the compact space. Right next to the compact space, SUV-only space. That's a thing that never existed 5 years ago. I mean, SUVs themselves didn't really exist until, you know, 7 or 8 or 9 years ago. And it's a space marked SUV only. Like, if there was ever any doubt that your car is too goddamn big, that's how you know. If you ever doubted that your car is larger than it really, strictly speaking, needs to be, the absolute finite definitive proof is right there when it's marked SUV only. I mean, it's the first place I've ever seen that, and you know it's coming. You know that that's going to be a thing that starts to spread, which means, of course, that there's less space for the rest of us to park in, because nobody can just drive, like, a normal-sized car anymore. So sort of a supersization of America continues. So have you ever had any doubt that SUVs are abnormally large, bigger than they really need to be in any normal universe? That's the absolute proof right there. Freaking SUV-only space. Make a note. You heard it here first. We'll do this. We'll come back with Jolie from the front desk. Another edition of How Chicks Think. Coming up in the next hour, we have today's top five. Top five Simpsons episodes of all time, according to Matt Groening. Stay there. We'll be back.
One more road to cross. One more is to take. Gotta live my life.
Only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, Sarah's got the traffic. And the giveaway that you're going somewhere bad is when you won't really be told where it is. Where are we going? Oh, we're just going to do, you know, a few things. Really, where? We're going to run some errands. Yeah, but where are we going? Oh, it's a place in Northwest. You've never been there. Okay, but what is it? It's this place where they sell stuff. Just get in the car, you know? And right then you know that you just, you know, you might as well just give it up. You know what I mean? You've permanently lost control of that.
Like when you take your dog to the vet. Want to go for a ride? You know, they're running jump.
Where are we going? Someplace fantastic, really. I wouldn't lie to you this time. You know what I mean? Because you know it's not, I mean, it's not a, you're not going to a processed meat factory or anywhere cool. No. You're going somewhere terrible. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. Rick, I'm now hearing the most whipped gay thing I have ever heard. I think you need to turn in your straight white guy card. Go knit some frilly crap. All right, that's from Mike. No, I'm just, you know, I'm under no illusion it's anything different. There was a time when There was a time when I wouldn't be in a store named Storables. And Storables. I mean, it's just a whole, you know, it's like having a store just called Boxes and Stuff. You know what I mean? That's all it is. It's just a big store for things to put other things inside of. Let's now welcome to the Rick Emerson Show our good friend Jolie from the front desk. Another exciting edition of How Chicks Think. How are you?
Good. How you doing?
Wait, where are you?
Well, it's President's Day, Rick. I'm, of course, at the mall.
Are you actually?
All over the place.
Wait, hold on. Are you actually at the mall right now?
Yes.
And so what are you doing at the mall? Well, I mean, obviously you're shopping, but are you shopping or is this just one of those pointless trips you're not going to get anything, but you're going to try on many outfits you'll never purchase?
Oh, no, I can never do that. Yeah. It's always go and buy stuff.
All right. Is your husband there?
No.
All right. So he managed to avoid this.
Well, yeah. It's his work week, so.
Excellent. All right. Good for him. All right. Well, I don't want to get in the way of your, you know, whatever. I've lost. There's a pop culture reference I could be putting in here somewhere. One of those pants. Let me ask you this. But this is what I was going to reference, but I don't actually know what they're called. Let me ask you this. Why do women wear those pants that are all big and billowy like a skirt? You know what I'm talking about? It's those pants where you look. You know what I'm talking about. It's where you see women and you think they're wearing a skirt, and then they get closer and you realize it's just a pair of pants with the big, like, roomy, billowy legs. You know what I'm talking about?
Like gauchos?
I have no idea. Matt, do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
Where
no
have one has you seen those in the
Oh man, I see
years?
No, I see them everywhere. Yeah. I see them. Well, maybe it's because I'm at the Lloyd Center Mall, which is sort of trapped in time. It's trapped in time and a certain social strata in which the thing is, it's never on people who look overtly trashy. It's always on people that are in Northwest eating granola, you know what I mean? It's always on like freaky hippie chicks. It's just one of those things that I think you all were conned into wearing at some point.
No, I've never had a pair, but now that you mention it, I do know what you're talking about. And it's so that, you know, like if they lift their legs or do something, they can still look fancy, but you're not going to see up the skirt or it's not going to fly or whatever.
It's just a terrible... Sometimes, you know, when it comes to female fashion, I mean, not like, you know, like, a, you know, I'm such a fashion plate myself, but I think when it comes to female clothing, I'm convinced that there's a bet going on in a room somewhere in Paris just between some dudes. You know, a bunch of guys have gotten together in a conference room and they bet $100 over whether they can get you to wear something that looks ridiculous, you know? And then it's, you know, and then, you know, and then as soon as you see it show up on Candace Bergen or something, and then everybody wears it, and money changes hands somewhere. Today's question comes to us. I won't read the guy's name because it's him sort of complaining about Valentine's Day. Now, the thing is here, he doesn't actually say what he got his girlfriend for Valentine's Day. He leaves that out of the email. I'll just give his first name. His first name is Mark. And he doesn't say what he got her. But he said, after my Valentine's Day debacle this weekend, I realized one thing. Valentine's Day is not so much about what you give a girl, it's what you don't give to her. I realized too late that I gave the wrong present. Is there some sort of thing that we're not supposed to give? Why doesn't anybody tell us this? Why can't they just give us in advance a list of things they don't want? Because, guys, it's, you know what it is? It's like gifts you don't want and dates you don't want to be taken on, but that we think are cool anyway. Because guys have to realize this. This is another reason. We were talking last week about why it's harder for guys to ask girls out than it is for girls to ask guys out. Here's another reason. Because every time a guy asks you out on a date, he's got to try to figure out some place to take you that you're going to like so that you'll eventually sort of like do him at the end of the evening. And in order to do that, he's got to think like a woman. And guys' brains are so small, we can barely think like men most of the time. I mean, it takes all of our effort to, you know, to toast bread correctly. And so, not only, you know, to think, but to actually have to think like a woman is almost impossible for us. So when it comes to taking you on a date or giving you a present, I mean, it's a miracle that we ever get it right.
Well, here's the thing, Rick. You guys are thinking that we should give you lists, you know, like a week before or a day before the Valentine's Day or whatever, the holiday. But here's the thing, what we do is we actually give you the list throughout the year. So you should be paying attention to these signs that we have already told you things that we like and we don't like when we've taken you to the mall, when we're going shopping,
yeah, but you know
those
what?
Kinds of things.
I'm not going to buy you something today based on some comment you made 3 months ago. You know what I mean? Because it's your moods are sort of like, and I mean the large collective, and I am speaking broadly now about females as a whole. It's like somebody asked me how, you know, said, how do you, asked me sort of half jokingly, you know, well, how do you put up with women, you know, and all their crap? And I said, well, it's because it's like if you don't. This is a woman who asked me this, by the way, and she'd had some sort of a rough day and was being a little mental, and then she sort of laughed and she said, God, how do you guys put up with us? And I said, well, it's because we know that whatever your mood is, like half an hour later, it's going to be different anyway. So it's like we only really have to tolerate you for half an hour at a time because whatever mood you're in now, it's going to be completely different based upon some small thing 30 minutes from now. So, God forbid I buy you something based on some comment you made back in, you know, June. That's going to work out badly. So, but as this guy says, though, it's more a question of knowing what you don't want. You know, knowing what you don't want as a gift and knowing where you don't want to be taken.
Well, I don't know, Rick. Girls are really good about telling the guys because they know. They're good about telling them, you know, a little bit beforehand, kind of hinting as to what they want.
No. It's not really the case.
Yes, it is.
Okay, but that's not really... But you're not actually answering the question. See, guys work a lot better when they're just told what not to do.
So you want us to give you a list of things we don't want?
I'm saying, well, it's not practical for... Here's why you have to do it. It's a service to your sisters. It's not practical for this guy to ask his own girlfriend what she doesn't want. You can't do that because then it just sort of reveals you as the hapless tool that you are.
Well, the list will be way too long.
All right, well, just help a brother out.
Okay, you want me to give you a list of things I don't want?
Things that you do not want.
Okay, how about
for starters? The guy should avoid buying you.
Skanky lingerie, like some nasty things with holes all over it and
nothing that's
leather.
Nothing that's crotchless.
Exactly.
All right.
Cheap perfume.
Okay, what does that mean?
Well, see, you got to pay attention to, like, the magazine. If you look in the girl magazines, which you can do every now and then when we're not looking, you see the new perfume smells. They have all the new perfumes.
Uh-huh.
Or you go ask the counter lady or whatever.
All right. Is it safe just to ask the woman who works behind the counter what she wants her guy to get her and then just do that? That's what we ought to have. They ought to just have sort of pinch girlfriends that you can take shopping, you know, and you just buy the stuff for her and, you know, it's like a proxy. And then you transfer it over to your, you know, to your real girlfriend.
Well, yeah, you can always ask the sister or the best friend. You know, it'll make the girlfriend feel good because, or your wife, whatever it is, that you're buying the gift for.
Uh-huh.
Because if you are acting like you want to do this big thing and you really care about her, then the friend will tell her this, you know, and she'll know what she wants to get. But here's the most important thing. You know, for instance, the same gift over and over again. I mean, that's the big key. Like concert tickets or flowers.
Uh-huh.
Same kind.
Uh-huh.
Oh, for every holiday. That gets boring. So you don't want to buy the same thing all the time.
All right. So concert tickets this year, rodeo tickets next year.
Well, no, but you're close.
Yeah. All right. Okay. all right. I'll let you get back to your shopping.
Oh, thank you.
All right. There you go. There's Jolie from the front desk.
What a girl wants. What a girl needs.
Right, there you go. There's Jolie shopping. It's like men only really learn through trial and error. You know what I mean? It's like when you're a kid and you see that glowing red thing on the top of the stove and you wonder whether you're supposed to touch it. It's like every kid has had that, especially guys. Guys have had this experience where you're told not to touch something over and over again growing up. But no matter how many times you're told not to touch it, it's like eventually you will because that's the only way you're going to learn. I mean, I remember being told when I was a kid. I think I've told this story. When I was a little kid, for some reason, I was fascinated with the little electric fan in my room. And this wasn't like, you know, the kind they've cut now. What with the, you know, protection all around it to keep you from jamming your hand in there. And it wasn't plastic either. It's like a full-on metal fan, and it didn't really have the screen so much as it had like one, you know, wire that went down, you know, vertically and one that went horizontally. There was really nothing to keep you from jamming your entire fist into the fan. And my parents would lecture me over, don't touch the fan. And which I liked when I, you know, because I was like two. You know, because it's bright and shiny and it, you know, moves around and whatnot. And I, you know, my parents would tell me. They'd see me wandering towards the fan and they'd say, don't touch it. And I would ignore them and do it anyway. And so eventually my dad, when the fan was on a really low setting, just let me stick my hand right into it. And that was the last time I decided to play, touch Mr. Fan. And so it is with dating. It's like guys don't know what's right, they don't know what's wrong, and they only learn by buying you the wrong thing and then getting the... Like my friend Robin, he got taken on a date by this guy one time, and he took her to a thing. It's called the... It's called the Buck Off is what it's called, and this is in the Lancaster, Pennsylvania. And the Buck Off is sort of a, if you can fathom such a thing, sort of a low budget rodeo. You know, it's not even it's not really even the full rodeo. It's sort of a mini sort of traveling rodeo that they have. And so, you know, she's whatever. She's like 19, 20, some guy, been pining after her forever, finally decides to take her out. Yeah, where are you taking me? I'm taking you to the Buck Off. You know, and it's like as soon, and the whole, and although that guy doesn't know it, the entire evening, it has already been played out. You know what I mean? It's like as soon as you show up at the girl's house and you tell her that you're taking her to a place called the Buck Off, that evening's end has already been decided by her, and nothing you do, short of just giving her, like, an actual wheelbarrow full of cash at that point, nothing, unless you're giving her a new car at some point during the evening, nothing is going to change the outcome of that evening. Telling a girl you're taking her to a monster truck rally and tractor pull, once the words leave your mouth, you have already made the decision. You may not know it yet, but the decision has already been made for you. Charles emails and says, Rick, my friend, you've been given a coolectomy. You've had every ounce of mojo or coolness you once had removed. Like you, I was once cool. I was a musician, leather-wearing, long-haired dude, and I loved it. Wrangled me a blonde at a young age and had her move in with me in my drum set. The drums are now in the garage, and I found myself recently shopping for shears to go with the valance in the kitchen nook. Why do I have a kitchen nook, Rick? It's because I am no longer cool. What the hell happened to me? The bottom line of it is I was suckered in. This is what's happening to you, in case you were wondering. So, full-time listener Charles F. Matt with color-coordinated rugs and throw pillows.
This F. Matt could be sponsored by your business.
Down here. And you all,
do you have a kitchen nook?
Probably. You know what I do have is I was one of those little cute things that you hang your keys on in the kitchen. You know what I'm talking about. Right by the refrigerator. It's all, like, it's not pastel, but it's sort of arty. You know, it came from, I don't know, it came from some, you know, like, pottery place and, you know, in the pricey district of Seattle. It's a thing you hang your, we only have one set of car keys anyway. But, you know, we've got, like, 9 hooks for keys because the thing had an interesting pattern that amused her. It's what it is to be a man.
The risk of really digging myself in here, it's actually not a kitchen nook, it's a breakfast nook, but it is attached to a kitchen. Kind of like a small dining area.
Okay. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-737-5955. We'll be back.
Rick Emerson, live from Portland. Only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
From the KOTK newsroom, here's your Northwest update.
It's 201. I am Jim Riley. Breaking news. The U.S.-Canadian border crossing at Blaine has been shut down after Canadian customs officials found an explosive device in a northbound car. It is not known whether the people in the vehicle have been taken into custody. Traffic is being rerouted as authorities investigate. And Portland police have arrested 66-year-old Duran B. Main on one count of murder after a shooting yesterday afternoon in the 6900 block of North Ida. That's in St. John's. Main was involved in a fight with a 49-year-old man. When police arrived, they found the younger man dead, apparently of gunshot wounds. Neighbors said it sounded like firecrackers. Pop, 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 pop. Portland Metro forecast for this afternoon. Rain at times, highs in the 50s, same for tonight and tomorrow, sunshine by Thursday. I'm Tim Riley, KOTK News.